Oh, hello mate, can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh shit, I've got the wrong fucking earphones on. Two seconds, mate, 2 seconds. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
That's fine, aye. What a fanny. No, you, me. You're just an embarrassment, that's all you.
Oh, exactly, aye.
I would be like, constantly, every 2 minutes, you need a PP, you need a PP, and he would look at you, no, no, and he would have the potty ready, and then you would turn around and he'd be standing in the corner peeing over the carpet. You know what I mean?
Because yes. They could be the best part-time time, best part-time team.
Yeah.
78th minute, it was a free kick floated into the box from the right-hand side by Tavernier. Tavernier with a header, aye, that can't be right.
No. He would have to be fast as fuck to get on at the end of his end cross.
That would be amazing, that.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Embarrassing iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm poorly executed, Derek. Poorly executed.
Poorly executed?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I wondered what you were talking about for a minute. I even fucked up the own joke.
Exactly. Yes. Maybe they've got a point, mate.
Good ideas, but poorly executed. There you go. Just like the intro.
but again, no like me, because I've not got any good ideas either, but there you go. So you got that wrong as well.
Yes, so obviously if you followed us on Twitter over the last couple of days, you'll have reference to that, so thanks very much if you are listening, whoever posted that, but I don't know why you are listening, but anyway, yes, we have a few things to cover, obviously. Dave and I have got to talk about the Aberdeen game and the Hibs game, haven't we?
Yes, we certainly have.
So it's fairly positive podcast, isn't it? Despite us, you know, this weekend losing the league for definite.
That's right, Derek, as I'm sure you're about to get into. 5 wins on the bounce, which is, you know, that's probably the first time we've done that in I don't know how many seasons now. So, yeah, it's pretty positive. And as I say, we've got the Old Firm game to look forward to at the weekend. But I'll let you go on with the games to cover.
Yes, so we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. I nearly messed that up there.
purely executed, mate. Purely executed.
Purely executed. You know,
purely, I did. Oh, nightmare.
Maybe the guy was right.
I think he was, actually. Yes,
so the first game we've got to cover this week is Sunday the 28th of April. It was at home to Aberdeen where we won 2-0. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Katic, Goldson, Flanagan, Davis, Jack, Kamara, Arfield, Kent and Defoe. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Worrell, Wallace, Halliday, McCrory, Candias and Middleton. So there was a minute's applause for the sad passing of Billy McNeil as well before this game, and impeccably observed. However,
yes,
rather ironically, as soon as that had finished, a minute later, the Aberdeen fans got singing their usual Ian Durrant stuff and their usual Ibrox disaster stuff as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they're a classy bunch, Derek, aren't they?
Absolutely, but we expect nothing less from them.
Exactly. You
know, they have to try and make themselves relevant somehow, don't they? So
exactly. Well, that's it. That's all it is, Derek. You're quite right. A complete irrelevance is what they are, and you know that's the way that we, I think, the vast majority of us, our Rangers fans, really treat them. Let's be honest.
Yep. And the way with the idiotic manager came out with some mental comments as well after the game, which we'll get into, kind of just sums it up as well. Mm-hmm. But a pretty outstanding performance, I thought, Dave, wasn't it?
Yes. All round? Yeah. It really was. I would go so far, Derek, as to say, as professional is the way that I would put it. There was no panic at all in the team, even when it was 0-0, and a very controlled performance against a team who basically just wanted to go out and not play football at all, Derek, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the fourth minute, it was a good move through the middle with Arfield playing a ball to Kent down the right-hand side. Kent crosses in, but it was just behind Defoe. It was really a good move until the final ball there, which sums up a lot of our play this year. But on the 25th minute, there was some lovely possession play and winning the ball back when we lost it, ending in Kent having a shot from 20 yards just by the right-hand post.
Yeah.
Really from that kind of 20-minute period, there we were playing some lovely football, we just the end product wasn't there.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
On the 28th minute, it was a lovely sweeping move through the middle to Arfield, one touch layoff into the box for Defoe, who hits a snapshot and an absolute outstanding save by the Aberdeen keeper.
I was just waiting for the net to bulge with that one, Derek, because it was a great move, and I don't think Defoe could have hit that any better, could he? Because, no. As you say, it was a snapshot, but he hit it with great power and accuracy as well. And but, you know, what can you say? It was an outstanding save.
Yep. And the 33rd minute, it was a shot from outside the box from Aberdeen, a comfortable save for McGregor. 40th minute, it was a short corner played from on the right-hand side, ending a cross being whipped in from Kent. Finds the head of Goldson and over the bar. Again, it was a really, really good move.
Yep.
On the 41st minute, there was a lovely move with the ball being threaded through on into the right side of the box from Defoe to Tavernier. Tavernier with a blistering shot, but another great save from the keeper who had narrowed the angle. Another great piece of keeping there. I don't know how much more we could have done with that one.
I know, it was a brilliant move again as well, though, Derek, and great awareness by Defoe, you know, waiting for the sort of overlapping run. I think he knew there would be somebody there, and it was Tav that was there. Yeah, really, really unlucky with that one.
Yeah, so that brought us into half-time, and as I said, I don't know how much more we could have done, but a couple of great saves. Yeah, we could have probably put the keeper under even more pressure, because we're out playing Aberdeen every week. A slightly disappointed, but certainly the signs were good and we were creating a lot of moves and we were varying things. We weren't just trying down the wings all the time. We were trying to get through the middle and Davis was playing his part as well.
You were about to say there, sorry, I thought Davis was outstanding. He's getting better and better each game. Derek, he was, you know, controlling the whole game, especially in the first half for me. I thought he was superb.
Yep. So into half time, and then the first real move of the second half, we got a penalty on the 47th minute. Katic was brought down in the box. Ferguson and Defoe were tussling in the box. Katic done well to get in front of them, and he had his foot stood on and went down. Clear penalty all day.
Yes, completely clear penalty. Not that Michael Stewart would agree with you right enough, Derek, but clear penalty for me.
I think the biomechanics of standing on somebody's foot was not to his liking.
That's it, exactly.
Yes. So up steps Tavernier, as ever, and cool as you like, slots the penalty home.
Yep.
57th minute, Arfield was in the middle of the park and gets fouled, but still manages to get the ball out to the right-hand side for the on-running Tavernier, who takes the ball forward, crosses in, hits off the keeper, right into the path of Defoe, and from close range, hits off his leg and over the bar. I'm not too sure how much Defoe knew about that, to be honest.
Aye.
A bit of unluckiness there.
It was unlucky at the same time, though, Derek. I was, you know, I think we're a player of his experience. I think we were all expecting, again, the ball to, you know, go over the line with that one. So I don't know exactly what happened. As you said, it all happened pretty quickly, but I think he'll look back at that and be quite disappointed that he didn't actually get that in the net there.
Yeah. On the 63rd minute, an absolutely incredible move through the middle down the right-hand side. Ball worked into the centre. Defoe threads a great ball to Tavernier in the box and dinks it past the keeper. And it went in the back of the net. But it was ruled offside because Tavernier's hand was offside. That's all I can think of it as. Now, the rules are clearly stating that the only part of your body that can be offside is a part of your body that can legally touch the ball. So if his hand was offside, that's an illegal part which couldn't have counted anyway. So I don't understand.
Unless you're a goalkeeper.
Well, yeah, unless you're a goalkeeper.
Exactly. No, it was, as you say, Derek, it was an incredible move and we were all absolutely delighted. We completely sliced Aberdeen open and the finish with Tav was absolutely outstanding. And as you say, we were all really sort of baffled when the flag went up and, really, really unlucky with that one.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been certainly goal of the season.
Yes, it was outstanding, yeah.
On the 67th minute, it was a lovely move through the middle with Defoe holding up the ball and passing to Davis, who ran into the box. Keeper managed to get to the ball first, and he does, but he spilled it to Arfield, but he couldn't quite get a shot off from there. Again, a bit of unlucky play there, but really good to get up to that point in the first place.
Yep.
On the 77th minute, it was a penalty to Rangers again. Corner came in from the left, and there was a forearm to the face of Katic. It was Considine who done it, and he was given his second yellow card. You know, arguably maybe a wee bit soft, but it was still a flailing arm that did hit him in the face, and really there's no such thing as a soft penalty. If there's contact, yep, then they've got to give the penalty. McInnes, after the game, was absolutely raging and states that Katic should have hung his head in shame and that there was absolutely no contact. What fucking game is he watching?
Well, Derek, I think we could all see that there was definitely contact. As you say, it wasn't a full forced, you know, sort of whack, elbow to face, but there was definitely contact there. His arm was definitely out. You know, it's a foul. If that had happened anywhere else in the park, Derek, it would have been a free kick, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it happened in the box. It's a foul. It's a penalty. So, yeah, you know, you can't say much more clearer than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And up steps Tavernier again and makes it 2-0 on the 79th minute.
So, yep, excellent.
2-0 up, that was the goal we really kind of needed to see it off. Not that Aberdeen ever really threatened us at all.
I think they had one shot
on target the whole game, and that was in the first half. So
if you want to see if you want to sort of see a visual definition of anti-football, all you've got to do is watch Aberdeen in that game, Derek. That's all you had to do, because they were not interested in trying to, you know, give anything to that match whatsoever. They were out just to stop us playing, end of. And thankfully, you know, I think we controlled the game, Derek, and didn't allow them to do that. We kept going and kept going and kept going. And that, you know, I was really pleased about that.
I mean, the one thing in this game is folk have thought that that they thought Aberdeen were going to come out and they play some maybe a wee bit different football, and especially in the second half. But I don't think we were getting the full credit for that, because, yeah, Aberdeen never done that, but I think that was largely to us for how well we were playing. We were, as you said, we were pegging them back at every single quarter, so, you know, got to be all credit to us.
I think the thing that I took from it the most, Derek, is that when we were coming up against teams like that and we weren't scoring early, we were starting to get frustrated quite easily, whereas in that game we controlled the game from start to finish, Derek, and even when it was 0-0 at half time and having those great chances and the goalie having, you know, playing absolutely fantastic, I think you could still see the belief that the team knew that they were still going to make chances and they were still going to go and win the game, and that to me is a huge difference in the team. Would you not agree?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't disagree.
Yep.
So, to round off the game, 83rd minute, Davis and Kent came off and Candias and McCrory came on, and on the 86th minute, Defoe came off and Wallace came on for a quite unlikely appearance. I forgot to mention, obviously, the fact that he was starting the bench from kind of nowhere. And then on the 91st minute, there was a corner on the right, played across the deck to the centre of the box, where Jack had a shot, but it was right at the keeper on a comfortable save. Quite an inventive corner, if I can remember right, the way we done it as well.
Yep.
So that rounded out the game, and obviously just getting into some of the other comments that McInnes made as well, is bizarrely a few days after the match, he had a go at us for making Aberdeen wear their grey away top. Well, they were the away team, so I don't know what his problem was. Apparently both managements were asked before the game if they had any issues with the colours. Rangers said that Aberdeen's top could clash with the orange top of McGregor, so as Aberdeen were the away team, they were asked to change. It's really, really kind of simple, and I think McInnes has kind of lost the plot over the last kind of couple of months, hasn't he, with some of his comments?
Yes, he's kind of gone full psycho now, isn't he? After this, again, it's this whole, you know, he's not getting his own way. Aberdeen have been found out this season, let's be honest, Derek. There was all the big noise, you know, for them and a lot of the media that Aberdeen was still finished second this season because it was Gerrard's first season in charge of Rangers and all of this utter nonsense. But they've been found out, Derek. They've been a very, very boring team to watch this year. They've grinded out results. They've, you know, been very, very negative. And, you know, I was just pleased that we beat them and we beat them well because we all know what's happened, you know, in the cup matches and all that when they've came just to frustrate us and they've managed to hit us on the break and they've won the matches. So I was just pleased more than anything else that we got the victory against them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes to show that, as well, I think he admitted a few weeks ago that he's going to have a big rebuild on his hands because of, you know, players leaving and just obviously the quality of the team as well. Mm-hmm. As Pedro Caixinha said, it comes in cycles, which nobody seemed to take all that on board. And what's happening just now with Aberdeen, they're going through another cycle, and it wouldn't surprise me if they do finish fourth and that's them on their downward spiral again.
Well, that's their captain's away in Shinney as well, Derek, who's a, you know, an influential player for them. He's going. They're not going to get anything for that. So, I mean, that's really going to leave their sort of top player as the goalkeeper, who's a very good keeper, Derek, I would like to say. I think he's one of the best keepers in the league, let's be honest. But, yeah, I can see Aberdeen having to rely on a lot of their youth players because they're going to lose a hell of a lot of their team.
Yep. So that moves us into the next game, which was Sunday the 5th of May at home to Hibs. Now, obviously Celtic had clinched the league the day before after beating Aberdeen 3-0, was it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely hammering them. You know, did we expect anything different from Aberdeen? No,
definitely
we
not. No, we didn't.
Yep. So we lined up in this game with the exact same starting 11 as what finished Aberdeen, which is quite good to get some continuity because he was chopping and changing at the start of the season, and I think it was affecting the team, especially the back line at some points as well. In terms of the subs, we had Fotheringham, Worrell, Morelos, McCrory, Candias, Halliday and Barisic. Now, that obviously answered the big question that Morelos, being back from his four-game suspension, would he start in the first 11 or on the bench? So I'm quite glad that we put him on the bench.
Aye, I think I don't think there was any question that he would be on the bench, Derek. You know, four games in the bounce. We know when he's not played, you know, it's the old saying that you don't split up a winning team. And Defoe's certainly playing very well. And maybe possibly Derek, having Morelos really, really hungry and desperate to get on, he's maybe going to be a very effective substitute in our sort of last two matches. I certainly hope so. But no, I fully expected him to be on the bench for this game.
Yeah. So in the first minute there was a free kick floated into the box and Arfield had a glancing header just by the post, and so I think straight away we were showing, you know, especially in the first half, how good we were going to be and how up for it we were. But on the third minute there was a lovely sweeping move, one touch play, working the ball out of our own box, ending in a ball into the Hibs box. It was just a wee bit too far in front of the foe and the keeper managed to gather it, but it was a great move. Just after that there was a move worked down the right hand side with a great ball into the box and Defoe was on target and the keeper made a save, but it was offside anyway.
Sixth minute,
I was lovely work down the right hand side, ending in Tavernier playing a great cross, comes to Defoe who controls, turns and gets a shot off but saves. That was a great turn by Defoe, I can remember that one. Just after that was a free kick floated into the box from the left, Goldson headers it over the bar but again it was offside. 17th minute, Arfield had a shot from distance that was just over the bar. 19th minute, it was a lovely move down the right hand side with Arfield back heel to Tavernier. Tavernier running on and takes it forward, a great pass to Defoe, beating the defence, gets the ball into the box but he sclaffs it wide. That was an outstanding move all around that, wasn't it?
Fantastic play,
especially the back heel. 27th minute, Kent gets the ball into the centre on the edge of the box, turns the man, shoots but the keeper gathers it fairly easily. 37th minute, there was a corner in from the left, initially cleared but back out to us on the edge of the box. Jack with an absolute pile driver, a shot, saved by the keeper, back out to our player who couldn't control it before their defence got it away. I think it was offside anyway. I think, was it Jack tried to play on, or I can't remember exactly who it was, but somebody tried to play themselves on. And then we managed to get the goal on the 40th minute with Jermaine Defoe. It was a lovely link up between Arfield and Jack in the middle of the park. A lovely dink up the park by Jack to Davis. Davis to Defoe, who was in the box, who just had to really tap it home past the keeper. Outstanding move.
It was all about, I think, that final pass with Steve Davis. Derek, it was a great move, and Davis just looked again so composed, you know, when he was on the ball, full of confidence as well. And, you know, as soon as he got up the field into the box, it was that fantastic ball just to put it just in front, just behind the defender, but just in front of Defoe, enough for him, you know, to get his foot on the end of it past the goalkeeper. It was a great goal.
Yep, absolutely. And I think it was more to do with the actual dink up the park from Jack to Davis in the first place.
It was a great move, you know, from start to finish. It really was. It was excellent stuff.
So into half-time, obviously, can only be happy with that. And we played some outstanding football in that half. That's some of the best football. I know we say that every time, but that's some of the best football I think we've played this season. Just absolutely free-flowing. The triangle football, the one-touch passing, it was exquisite at some points. And then in the second half, it just kind of all went flat, didn't it?
Yep, it was pretty turgid stuff. It was more for us rather. It was more like a possession game, Derek, wasn't it? It was pretty dull, and that kind of played right into Hibs' hands. They were quite happy that we slowed the tempo down, and it gave them a chance to try and get back into the game.
And that's the thing. I don't. They had a wee bit more possession, but they never really done anything with it up until the controversial moment towards the end of the game. But
yep.
You know, in the 49th minute, Arfield showing some strength, getting the ball to Candias on the right-hand side of the box, hits it just wide of the post. It was actually easier to score that than actually to miss it. I thought Candias had a bit of an off game again this game. Just a lot of wayward passes, and obviously that, you know, he would have normally buried that. I know he's not an out-and-out striker or anything like that, but that's the type of chance he was at least getting it on target.
Yeah.
64th minute, Hibs had a ball just wide of the post. 73rd minute, Defoe came off and Morelos came on. 78th minute, it was a free kick floated in from the right hand side. I think it was Tavernier who had a header just by the post. 79th minute, Kamara came off and McCrory came on. That would play a vital part in the next kind of 5 minutes.
Yes.
82nd minute, there was a move from Hibs down the left, ending in a good cross into the box, and it was the diving header just wide. And at 85th minute, there was a good move down the right-hand side to Arfield. He managed to turn, and the ball was parried away by the defender. Ended up falling to Candias, who shoots. A save by the keeper. Back out to Arfield again, who should have shot, but he tried to pass to Morelos, who was offside. Morelos did actually manage to have a great turn and shoot the ball into the net, but obviously it was offside anyway.
Yeah.
87th minute, it was an absolute world-class save by the leg of McGregor after the ball was crossed in from the right, kind of hit off our defender's leg, up and over. Goldson managed to slip, falls right to the Hibs player within the 6-yard box, and he hits a shot, and McGregor managed to pull off an outstanding save with his leg.
Yeah.
And then a controversial, well, it wasn't really controversial, it was just a moment of complete idiocy
madness,
from McGregor.
Madness, yep, complete madness.
He got a red card on the 90th minute. He was taking a kick out. There was a Hibs player who was in front of McGregor. McGregor kicks the ball out, and with his follow-through, he blatantly kicks the back of the guy. Clear intent by McGregor there, and he kind of falls down and tries to feign an injury in his leg, which just was even more stupidity from him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, this is I've had a wee bit of feedback on Twitter, which is the
feedback. that's putting it mildly.
Yes. Nothing short of embarrassing that from McGregor there. He's done it a few times this season and he's got away with it. And he's always, every time he's done it, he's had the benefit of the doubt almost, because he manages to do it in a very cute way, like the Ayer thing against Celtic, where he kind of stumbled, he led with his elbow down, and he could have argued, which he did, I think, that, oh, I stumbled and that's the way I fell. This was as blatant as you like. And, you know, he's not a silly wee laddie like say that Morelos says he's 22 or 20-year-old. McGregor's 37. He's a seasoned professional. Why is he doing this season?
An international player as well, Derek, you know, or was best goalkeeper in the country by quite some distance, as you say, a man who has played you know, at such a high level, for him to do something like that and, you know, think he could get away with it. And the time of the game as well, Derek, there was what, 2 minutes left in the match.
Yeah.
The match was won. It was going to be another clean sheet. It was going to be on to the next game, you know, regardless what the Celtic score was or who the league champions were. We're still playing Celtic in the next game. So for him to do that is just absolute madness, absolute idiocy. And, you know, I could not believe it when I was sitting watching it. You know, I was saying to myself, what does he actually think was going to be the end result in that happening? It was only going to be bad for him and bad for the club. And I was just madness, Derek. Absolute madness.
I mean, 99% of fans on Twitter were completely condemning him, saying it, agreeing it is an embarrassment. Those fans that, you know, try to defend him, I just don't know what you cannot defend that kind of thing. And he's kind of fallen in the category of, you know, the fact that he has been so good. He's one of the players that Rangers Twitter can't criticise whatsoever. You know, you're a Tim if you know, try and criticise him and call out anybody who tries to defend that kind of thing. There's no place for that in our team, and he could have cost us there. And we had obviously used all three of our subs at that moment, so McCrory was the one who went in goal, and I love the justification of the fact that, well, his brother's a goalkeeper, so he's been around goalkeepers. I loved that from Gerrard. But
so it was as you say, Derek, it could have been very costly. Thankfully for us, it was at the end of the match, but it certainly wasn't the end of the match. We certainly had a few minutes left over, which, you know, could have been, you know, really, really dodgy for us, but thankfully it didn't pan out like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, other than a corner, they actually managed to put any pressure on.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you have a shot anywhere in the, you know, in the vicinity of the box, you know, there's a good chance that it's going to go in when you get a midfield player going in and goal. And obviously the corner, Rangers held the ball, Rangers fans behind the Broomland held the ball up, and then as soon as Hibs take their corner, they throw the ball on. And then there's biomechanic man Michael Stewart questioning why wasn't the corner retaken. You know, this is the man who prides himself on the rules of the game, yet can't even get that right for the fact that the corner was already taken.
It's just because it's against us, Derek. Well, come on. I mean, course, this, you're like, come on. It's just that explains it, surely.
As you said, the game wasn't finished. Hibs really never done nothing. I think our players were outstanding, managing to protect, you know, McCrory in that respect. Yeah, mm-hmm. We had a couple of chances ourselves in the 94th minute. It was a quick break up the park. Candias tried to square it to Morelos, but he overhit it. And in the 95th minute, the ball was punted up the park by McCrory, funnily enough. And Morelos gets the ball. He tried to lob the keeper, narrows that at the hook, narrows the angle, and makes a great save. I mean, how amazing would that have been if McCrory had an assist on that?
Exactly, it was some kick, Derek, that's all I can say. It absolutely thundered that. I mean any goalkeeper in the world would have been bumming pleased with that kick. I mean, as you say, just inches away if he'd been the perfect assist, but never mind.
So that rounded out the game, and finally and thankfully we've beaten Hibs this year. I mean, ultimately, looking at the three games we have played against Hibs this year, we've completely dominated them every single game. The fact that we only came out with 3 points from the first three games is an absolute joke. It should have been 9 points, and we could have been going into the last two games of the season with a good chance of winning it. It's all fine margins, we know that. But you look at the lost opportunities we've had this season, and you could probably argue the same with Celtic dropping our points here and there as well. They've had a few games where they could have and should have got points, but you look at it over the course of the season, you look at yourself and you think, you know, that's a wasted opportunity. So far in the table, we've played 36, won 22, drawn 9, lost 5, scored 79, conceded 25, goal difference plus 54, and 75 points. 9 points behind Celtic, 14 ahead of Killie and Aberdeen, and 21 ahead of Hibs. So ultimately, you're looking at certainly, we obviously confirmed second place, but it's an extremely comfortable second place now. And, you know, this is a massive game coming up against Celtic on Sunday. In the 12th there, because ultimately it could go to 12 points, it could stay at 9, or it could go down to 6. Yeah. Ultimately, we go down to 6, and I think that's been a fairly successful season. It's not been perfect by any means. Obviously, perfect would be winning the league, but you know, you can't really ask for much more in the season if he gets it down to 6 points, really. Even 9 points, I would still fairly acceptable.
Yeah.
But we'll get into the next two games, we'll see what happens.
You know me, Derek, I'm the ultimate optimist. I always have been, even through the dark times with the club. But I think, if I'm being perfectly honest, the cup competitions for me were exceptionally disappointing for us, because if we stayed the position that we were and we had a cup, even two cup finals, Derek, to play in, I think we would have said, right, well, you know, it's been a fairly good season for us, but the cup competitions have been a real disappointment, and the fact that our fans haven't been able to get into the cup, you know, to a cup final to cheer the team on at Hampden and stuff like that, has been disappointing. Certainly, improvements are there. Anybody that says there's no any improvements is, you know, completely off the head. But fine margins, Derek, and you know, disappointing in the cups as well. But never mind.
Yep, so the next two games, as I said, Sunday the 12th of May at home to Celtic. That's a midday kickoff. They've obviously got the barriers up again to keep the orcs in. Kevin Clancy's been announced as the ref. You know, that's much of a muchness, really. It's, you know, a ref's a ref. They're all as bad as each other these days. And it's been confirmed that we're not giving them a guard of honour, despite what Chris Sutton and Chris Boyd saying that we should, because it's the right thing to do. You know,
ridiculous.
Ultimately, it's a respect that's earned, and they have spent the last 10 years disrespecting us at every turn.
Yes.
They can't even mention our name when it comes to the fixture, so absolutely fuck them. Any fan who claims that we should be giving them a guard of honour, really, I was going to say game of honour there, but really should need to have a good look at themselves and think what Rangers mean to you when it comes to Celtic.
Derek, we all know that Chris Sutton tries to be the biggest wind-up merchant in Scottish football. So I mean, I would take that with a complete pinch of salt. Chris Boyd, you know, we're questioning Chris Boyd's loyalties almost weekly now with some of the stuff that he comes out with. So it was never going to happen, Derek, and I don't care what anybody said, the Celtic and the officials at Celtic would never be expecting a guard of honour at Ibrox regardless. So it was a complete non-story for me. It really was.
I just love how the media have said, oh, Rangers not going to be honouring the tradition.
A lot of pish.
What tradition is this?
It's
something that's been done sporadically over the past, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. It's not been a tradition. I don't remember anybody giving us a guard of honour, you know, in the 90s at all or anything like that, and even in the 2000s. So I don't know where they're getting this from.
Absolute pish, Derek. Again, I was taking it with a pinch of salt. I really was.
Yeah. So, obviously, we'll be back probably after the next two games with probably the final pod of the season. So we'll cover them there. So it's on now to the classic match.
And there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, Dave, you have got what you said you were going to do in the last pod, the final of the 2005 League Cup.
I certainly have, Derek. Going on from the last match, the 7-1 semi-final victory, we move on to the final, which was played on the 20th of March 2005, and our opponents on that date were Motherwell. Now, the Rangers team for this occasion was Ronald Vatteras in goals, Morris Ross, Sotiris Kyriakos, and the big absentee for Rangers on this date was Marvin Andrews. Now, Derek, I don't know if you knew this little fact, but Marvin Andrews had the chance to be the first player in Scottish football history to win the League Cup in successive seasons with two different clubs. Mm-hmm. But because he'd won it with Livingston the season before, but unfortunately Marv he was injured, he failed his fitness test, and his place on the team he was replaced by Bob Malcolm. So Bob Malcolm in the centre of the defence with Kyriakos, Michael Ball at left back, and then into midfield, Thomas Buffel, Barry Ferguson, Fernando Rixon, and Gregory Vignal, and then up front for Rangers, Nacho Novo and Dado Purso. On the bench for Rangers, Alec Ray, Stephen Thompson, Peter Lovenkranz, Zurab Kishnishvili, and Graham Smith on the bench. For Motherwell there, a few players that Gordon Marshall was in goals. We had, of course, another I'll use this allegedly, because I don't want us to get any trouble. I don't think there's any allegedly about us, but Rangers hater Stephen Craigan was playing in the game there. The late Phil O'Donnell was also playing, and a young Scott McDonald. So started off Rangers some very early neat possession between Ferguson and Bufell, and a great pass to the on-rushing Nacho Novo. First time strike for the edge of the box, just over the bar. So that was the sign of things to come, because only 3 minutes later, Rangers actually took the lead.
It's a nice ball from Bufell, plays it through, Morris Ross skips it in! It's an unlikely first goal scorer for Rangers, and Morris Ross celebrates!
5 minutes gone, Barry Ferguson on the left-hand side turns his man and played a crossfield pass to Morris Ross on the opposite wing, back to Thomas Bufell, who plays in a chipped ball into the box, and Ross, who had kept running, dinks the ball over the on-rushing Gordon Marshall into the back of the net. I don't know what Gordon Marshall was thinking about there, but it was a great finish, to be fair. Morris Ross, you know, right back, running and continuing his run. Fantastic goal for Rangers, and that set us on our way. A couple of minutes after that, though, Motherwell had their first real chance with Richie Foran. He hits a long-range shot, but it was straight into Ronald Vateras' hands. And then Rangers doubled their advantage early on again with only 9 minutes on the clock.
He's taking short. Ferguson swings in. Oh, miss from Marshall, but the whistle goes, and a goal is given. Gordon Marshall was expecting and then free kick to be given, but it wasn't, and Rangers have gone 2 ahead.
Barry Ferguson receives a short corner in the corner of the box. He crosses the ball, and there's a bit of a mix-up in the defence, and actually saw Phil O'Donnell's header trying to clear the ball, but actually goes straight over the head of his own goalkeeper, and just perfect head tight for Sotirios Kyriakos just to head the ball into the net to make it 2-0 to Rangers. Really bad mix-up in the Motherwell defence there. Rangers very comfortable at this stage. And it was looking at this stage that it was going to be double figures, Derek, because every time that Rangers got forward, it looked as if we were going to score at that point. But out of absolutely nowhere, Motherwell pulled one back on the 13th minute.
Header comes in! And David Partridge has scored!
Free kick on the right wing, swung into the box, and Partridge with a fantastic goal, to be fair to him, bullet header past Ronald Vateras to make it 2-1. So Motherwell were back in it out of absolutely nothing, and they almost equalised 10 minutes after that when Scott McDonald's shot was just wide after some good play involving O'Donnell and Foran. And at that point, it looked as if it was anyone's game, and it was really going to be the next goal. It was going to be the decisive goal, and thankfully, it happened for us. So in the 33rd minute, Rangers scored their third goal of the match.
Rickson fires it in! And Rickson scores! He loves this competition this season, Fernando Rickson. It's his third goal. Scored against Aberdeen, scored against Dundee United, and now in the final against Motherwell.
Just after we won a free kick on the left-hand side corner of the box, it was a bit way outside, but within shooting distance for Fernando Rickson. But as I say, still a lot of work to do, but he steps up and smashes an absolutely sensational free kick over the wall, dipping right down into the bottom right corner past Gordon Marshall. It was a fantastic goal for Rangers. It really was tremendous stuff. That made it 3-1. And then after that, you know, that was the 33rd minute. Rangers, great possession play right up until half time. There was a wee half chance for Thomas Bufell, who had a shot in the 38th minute just over the bar. But then Nacho Novo had a fantastic chance to make it 4. He just missed out Kyriakos' header. He headed it across the ball, and Novo just had to tap it in. I don't know how he managed to miss it, but he did miss it, unfortunately. And that went through to half-time. Rangers in control, 3-1 at this stage. Into the second half, Motherwell really trying to get back into the game. A lot of high balls into the box, but Kyriakos, to be fair, was having a fantastic match. It was really bread and butter to him. And that was just in the sort of early start of the second half. A few good balls in, but Motherwell cleared the way quite easily. And then Rangers killed the game off early into the second half. 48th minute.
Vignol, that's a lovely pass through. Noble's in! Nacho Noble scores for Rangers. That could be the killer goal. And Rangers, with 48 minutes gone, hit 4. Rangers 4, Motherwell 1.
A fantastic ball for Gregory Vignol. It was superb. Great play onto Nacho Noble, who was running through. He dinked the ball past the goalkeeper into the empty net. It was great play. It really, really was. Rangers on easy street at that point. They had made their subs just prior to that. Alec Ray on for Gregory Vignol. Stephen Thompson on for Nacho Novo. Barry Ferguson then with a long range shot, which was saved by Marshall. And then right at the end of the game, it was Rangers' fifth goal.
Kyriakos is in! Simple fifth goal. It's out. Kyriakos scores for the second time in the Serie A's Insurance Cup final. He smiles at his manager, who applauds him. Rangers hit 5 in the cup final. Rangers 5, Motherwell 1.
Was a corner on the right-hand side, crossed in, and an absolute bullet header from Kyriakos to score his second goal of the match in Rangers' fifth. Fantastic performance by Kyriakos there, Derek. You know, he was a bit of a bomb scare at times for Rangers, but at other times it was outstanding. He had a fantastic game this game. So did Barry Ferguson. He was tremendous also. And Rangers, the final whistle went. Rangers were the League Cup winners 2005. Fantastic scoreline, 5-1 victory, and thoroughly deserved. I take it you can remember that quite well, Derek?
I wouldn't say quite well, no. But you know what I'm like. I mean, it's, you just always ask that to make me embarrassed, don't you?
No, like I say, every time we do the classic match, if you get a chance to go back and watch it, some fantastic goals. Rixon's free kick was tremendous, and you know, some fantastic bullet header by Kyriakos at the end, just to sort of put the icing on the cake.
So we will go down. No, we won't. We will
go into the news.
Yes, we will go into the news.
Oh, that's getting bad when I've got to remind you, mate.
I know, it's called sleep deprivation.
Oh, aye, there again. Uh-huh. Smallest violin in the world playing in the background there for you.
As ever, a few things to cover in this one. We've got to start off. Steven Gerrard got the Manager of the Month award for April. It's the first time our manager has got the award since coming back to the Premiership, which is no kind of surprise, to be honest.
Yeah.
He got 4 wins, 11 goals and 1 conceded. No other team in April with a 100% record. But as usual, the Tims are still raging and questioning why he got it, eh?
Yeah, well, it's just natural for them, isn't it, Derek? Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yep. And another wee Brucey bonus, Arfield got the Player of the Month as well, and I think that was a lot of help to the fact that he scored 4 goals in April as well.
Yeah, it was excellent, yeah. It really was. We really thought that we were going to struggle without Morelos in there, Derek, but he really did chip in, didn't he?
Yeah. Next thing is Ryan Kent got the Young Player of the Year award at the PFA Awards the other night there, and Morelos got the goal of the season for his goal against Aberdeen.
Yep.
Kent and Morelos both missed out on the Player of the Year, and that went to James Forrest. See, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you if James Forrest played good or bad this season.
I'm exactly the same, Derek. I honestly can't have any comment whatsoever on him. All I know is that James Tavernier's had more assists and more goals than what he has this season, but you know, that obviously doesn't go for anything, does it?
Yeah. To be honest, I would have thought that Tavernier would have got the nod ahead of Kent, to be honest, in the awards, but...
And up until Sunday, I would have said McGregor as well.
Yeah. But Noel was not lost, though, because McGregor, Tavernier, Kent and Morelos all got named in the PFA Team of the Year. So.
Yes, excellent.
It wasn't quite like, I mean, I think it was mainly made up by Rangers and Celtic players, but there was a couple other players there, so it wasn't like the English Player of the Year, where it was all made up of Liverpool and Man City players, wasn't it?
Yes,
so.
Yeah, no, good stuff.
Yep, keeping on the theme of Player of the Year, Greg Docherty, who is playing on loan for Shrewsbury just now, won three of their Fans Player of the Year awards.
Yes.
It was, check this out, the Family Stand Player of the Year, the Away Travel Club Player of the Year, and the OSC Player of the Year. So
he's made a huge impact, Derek. I know it's the fourth tier of English football, but it's certainly been a good loan move for him, because he's played every single match that he could, and he's been an absolute star for them. I think we all know that there is definitely a quality player there, Derek, so I'm just hoping that is, you know, really got his confidence boosted in his back, whereas next season really fighting for his place, because let's be honest, Derek, I think he could go into the team just now. He could take the place, you know, if Jack was injured or Jack was suspended, he could play in there quite comfortably, I think. So, you know, definitely been a good move for him. Great experience, and, you know, back fighting for his place next year, which can only be good for competition.
Yep, absolutely. Again, keeping on the theme of Player of the Year awards, Zach Rudden on loan to Falkirk had a clean sweep of their Player of the Year awards, where he won the Players, the Supporters, the Young Player of the Year award, and the Goal of the Year award as well. So he's been on fire, and I think he's been, from what I've been hearing from Falkirk fans, is he's been the only shining light of the season. So it must be gutting to know that he's not even their player.
Exactly, but as I say, I've had my say about Falkirk and upset a few of their fans over the last week, so I'm not going to say anything about them getting relegated, but the fact that he's played so well and still managed to score a lot of goals, you know, for a team as bad as them, you know, a team getting relegated, shows that the guy must be a bit of a, you know, quality player. I'll be honest with you, Derek, I've never watched him play, you know, before. Obviously, I knew who it was, and he was, you know, one of your players on loan, but I couldn't tell you much about him. But again, it shows you that he must have something about him if he can play to a high standard that's, you know, in such a poor team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the extreme interesting thing that about our loans that have went out this season, is they've all been, from to a man, I think, they've been all outstanding. They've all been getting a lot of plaudits. Obviously, you know, the Docherty speaks for itself, Rudden speaks for itself, but as well, there's Jordan Rossiter. He's, I think, played just about every game down there, and he's not been injured at all, and he's been playing fairly well, getting Man of the Match awards and everything.
That's
so
right.
Scoring goals. So it's going to be interesting for next year to see who does get retained.
And the player also that you forgot about as well, Derek, who was out injured but then came back and has scored a few goals, playing in the same league as us, as Ryan Hardy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's looking bright. I mean, certainly that was the one thing that, you know, you looked at what Mark Warburton started, and it's been continued on with Gerard and his team, is, you know, there's no point the youngsters coming in and not getting a game and just sitting on the sidelines or getting games for reserves. Get them out into decent quality leagues and getting them, you know, proper first team football and that experience. Yep. Then they come back when they've got maybe 30 to 60 first team appearances under their belt already, so they're aware of what their expectations are going to be and all that kind of thing. So it's a great experience for them. So we'll see what happens next year with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good news as well is Hummel have unveiled the new strips for next year. It was leaked in a great video about a day before. I don't know if that forced Hummel's hand anyway. And the one unfortunate thing, and I don't like it, is they've went to their Bumblebee type badge. I just preferred it when it was Hummel, the name. But that's maybe just a personal thing. The home top, I'm no 100% keen on it. I'll probably grow in me as the Hummel.
I think it's lovely, actually, Derek. I think it's really very traditional. I think it looks really, really nice. I was actually really quite pleased when I seen it.
I prefer this year's, to be honest, but it's traditional blue. I can't remember if it's the away top, but there's one top which is just plain red shorts and socks and top, and the other one is a black shirt with like a white or light blue stripes at the bottom half of it. So I think they're on pre-sale just now. Obviously Rangers can't advertise it at all. It's all getting done through the Hummel sites and things like that. So that'll be, you know, certainly I think there was like 30,000 orders in the first weekend or something like that when
this season came on.
I'm sure
it'll be, definitely.
Yep. Keeping on that shirt theme, as we've renewed our shirt sponsorship with 32 Red until the end of the 2021 season. So obviously all happy in that respect there.
Yes.
Player signing, Steve Davis has signed a permanent deal on a 1-year contract. He had a slow start to his return.
He did.
I don't know if it was his getting to match fitness, but he's been absolutely outstanding the last 5-6 games, and arguably it's been the main catalyst in what's made our midfield so good over these games as well.
He has. You could tell, as you say, Derek, about 5 games ago, you could see that he was starting to come on to a game. And I think we were just all waiting to see if that was going to be it, you know, or if he was going to get better. But by every single game since then, he's just got better and better and better. And he was by far the best player on the pitch in the last 2 matches.
Yep, absolutely. And more success, which is even better for us. The Rangers under-18s won the SFA Youth Cup final for the first time since 2014 after a brilliant 3-2 win over Celtic at Hampden.
Great game. I sat and watched it, Derek. It was excellent.
Yep, it was on that new weird BBC Scotland channel. Completely shit commentary as usual. They were completely down on Rangers at every single turn.
Stephen Craigan was embarrassing, actually, Derek. He really was embarrassing, considering that this, you know, these are laddies, these are the future of Scottish football. He was absolutely embarrassing. He did everything that he could to talk them down, and all of the commentary was talking about that young boy for Celtic, that the Dembele boy. It's all they wanted to speak about throughout the whole game. It was really embarrassing, actually, and I was just absolutely delighted that Rangers won and played so well. And I thought that the young boy McPake looked an absolute superstar, Derek. I really did. I think the you know, the spotlight for Rangers had been on the boy Coombs that we had signed from down south.
You mean Sideshow Bob?
Yes, exactly. But I thought the boy McPake was absolutely outstanding. I'd go so far as to say that I think that he could be, you know, straight into our first team squad now, with the way that he played. For being such a big, tall guy, the way that he could just glide past players, and the power and the pace, he actually reminded me a lot of Mark Haley in his prime, the way that he ran. He just looked, you know, really, really confident. He just looked a threat every single time, you know, we went forward. I really did. That boy has really got a really, really bright future ahead of him. I thought he was superb.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in last season's Glasgow Cup, which we won, which we'll get on to this season's in a minute. I think Tom Miller said that, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the time when it comes to youth players at this age, that there's maybe only one or two at the maximum out of the whole 22 or the whole 30-odd players there will make it to a proper first team. But, you know, certainly some of the prospects there, I mean, Dapo Mabudi, Josh McPake, as you said, Kai Kennedy, Nathan Young-Coombs, the all got exceptionally, you know, good prospects ahead of them. And, you know, if it's going to be a case of, you know, they don't play for us, but then they go on and we get a good fee for them, you know, that's always a good thing as well when we're creating to sell in that respect. I mean, you look at, I think there was a stat somewhere that Chelsea had 90 between their first team and going right through their youth, 90 players out on loan. And you look at Billy Gilmour, where he's playing week in, week out for them, that shows you what genuine talent that guy's got for still to be there and getting his game. So if we can do this and get a wee bit better money for them rather than just a development fee, you know, if they can't make it in our squad but they get big money moves somewhere, that's what you kind of look for in your youth setup as well. But, you know, ultimately, the game wasn't a void of controversy as well. Well, according to Celtic fans anyway. They were absolutely raging because they had a late minute equaliser chopped off, even though the ball was clearly run over the byline.
Over the line, clearly.
And put in the net. You know, conspiracies they were claiming on Twitter as well. It was honestly hilarious.
Clearly over the line, aye. It really was.
So we had the week later, we had also the under-20s in the Glasgow Cup final against Celtic as well. Unfortunately, we lost 3-2. It was at Parkhead. It was another great game. We were 2-0 down and we brought it back to 2 each. We lost a last-minute goal to a free kick that never should have been in the first place. However, you still got to defend the free kick, and it was floated in into the box and it wasn't really well defended. But, you know, certainly they made up for it, and the under-20s won the reserve league
Yes.
As well. I think it was today or yesterday.
Yes, yesterday at Falkirk, yep.
Yeah, it was a 3-1 win against Hearts. It was basically, we won on goal difference, I think it was. And apparently we're not going to be playing in the league, the reserve league next year. We're going to be playing in the youth league or something like that.
Fantastic, yeah. So, great stuff.
I mean, that's great prospects. I was hearing from one of the other Rangers podcasts as well that the under-18s, when they won the cup out in Qatar, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're in that competition for the next 3 years. Because we won it. So that's something obviously to be proud of, and you know, certainly the youth system and the academy seems to be working the way it's meant to now. So it's taken its time over the years. It was vastly neglected over the past maybe 20 years since its inception. It was treated more as a training ground than a development complex, but now we seem to have everything in place, which is all we can ask for.
You can only we can only sit and wonder, Derek, if we had the youth system set up that we've got just now back when we were playing down in the second division, you know, that we could have just had those laddies all playing right the way through the leagues, you know, if they had the right training, the right guidance, you know, we could have had some real, real superstars playing for us at the moment. But you know, we just have to go on with it, and just glad that things are finally, you know, shaping up. But you know, lessons to be learned. We could have really have used it back then, I think. But going back though, we've got some fantastic, especially our front four looked at absolutely brilliant, Derek. So here's hoping that they can all keep going and kick on and push to get into the first team.
Yep. Speaking of youngsters though, that 20-year-old Liam Burt has leaving the club at the end of the season. He spent 5 years with us and he only made three first team appearances. You know, I can't believe he's only 20 and he spent 5 years
here.
But I mean, as you said, that's the kind of wastage of the McCoy's era, unfortunately, you know.
Yes.
Not bleeding the youngsters in a better time. I know he was obviously very young at that time, but you know, it's as I said, just wastage from McCoy's. Rangers and Celtic were fined £7,500 each by the SFA for their handbags moment at the end of the last Old Firm game, weren't they? So a bit random that. But speaking of that Rami at the end, surprise surprise, Scott Brown got off with his up yours gesture after the game as well.
What a surprise.
That's despite a week beforehand Derek McInnes getting a one game ban for doing the exact same gesture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's the difference?
There's none, Derek.
The only difference I could see was McInnes was actually reacting to sectarian abuse he was getting by the Celtic fans. So, you know, this whole call it out thing, this whole anti-Catholic thing is a load of bullshit, because it seems to be one way when it comes to sectarianism in Scotland. And we all know the reason why, because Celtic run the SFA, Celtic run the SPFL, Celtic run the media. There's no more much more you can say about that.
It all comes down a lot as well, Derek. There's been a lot, especially on social media, with so-called MSPs that we've got out there as well that are pushing for it as well, and seeing where a lot of their allegiances all lie also. So it's, as you say, Derek, it's one way. It's supposed to be a transparent thing for every sort of belief in race and religion out there, but it does only seem to be the one way that it's going, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's even before we get into Glasgow councillors' dodgy private messages trying to get other people into trouble and all that kind of thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, last couple of things in the news here. It was announced the breakdown of prize money for the SPFL for the final positions. Celtic are going to get £3,350,000 and we are going to get £2,400,000. Yet third place get just over £2 million. So between second place, the breakdown between the next team down isn't actually a great deal.
No.
And to be honest, even the winners getting only £3.3 million is an absolute joke, isn't it?
It is, yes, it is.
Yeah.
I know we cannot compare to down south, Derek. I realise that, but I think you'll find that teams in sort of League One in England will be getting more money than that for winning the league and getting promoted up into the English Championship. They'll be getting, you know, at least 10 times that, you know, for winning the league. So it shows you that it's really, really, really poor, you know, the standard that we've got, and we've got a long, long way to go. I would like actually to see us in comparison to other countries that are roughly about the same size as us, to see what their sort of prize money's like there, because that's really, really poor. Shocking, actually.
I mean, it's almost at the stage where, yeah, oh, it's obviously going to benefit, you know, the first, you know, three clubs. I would almost like to see the payments being reversed, so the 12th team in the league get the 3.3 million is almost like a parachute payment, because, you know, it could spell virtually the end of some of these clubs. I mean, Dundee look as if they're going to be the one that's relegated, if not already.
Yep. No, they are, yep. Mm-hmm.
They're a full-time squad, you know, so yep. It could make the difference between Dundee going to part-time or full-time, you know, these kind of payments. So, and you look at the difference between the 11th place, where they are in a playoff place, they get 1.187 million, whereas the 10th place team get 1.25 million. So there's only, you're only talking, what, just under 100 grand difference between,
yep,
you know, Premiership riches, which are nothing, or Championship riches, which are even less than nothing.
Yeah.
So it's not that much difference, and it's a bit of shitty breakdown, but that's what you do, and that's what you live with.
And yeah, no, and if... And to be perfectly honest with you, Derek, I don't want Dundee United getting any money whatsoever. So no, I'd have been quite annoyed if they'd have came away with about £3 million for getting relegated, so fuck them.
Next thing here is talking of the SFA and all that. Allegedly, Dick Advocaat is very keen on the Scotland job. I think he's came out and said that he would take it. I'm actually saying allegedly because it was actually reported that Sven Goran Eriksson was keen to take it. However, he's came out and rubbished it. But certainly, I would have said Dick Advocaat has been the best candidate for some time to be linked with the job, wouldn't you?
I think there was, I mean, I know you don't like talking about Scotland and you're only saying it because it is your ex-manager that's been, you know, you've spoken about it. Certainly going by experience wise, he's got experience of being a manager in Scotland, he's got experience of being an international manager at the highest level. There was also talking Mark Wilmots as well, who did very well with Belgium, but Belgium, I think, have got a plethora of quality players to choose from. So no, if the wee general got the job, I would be delighted in that. Derek, just good to see him back in. I think he must be bonkers actually to want it, but good luck to him if he does get it.
I can feel the seethe from the tartan army already, you know.
Exactly, which is another bonus, Derek, isn't it?
Yeah. So talking of, you're going on about, you know, other leagues and all that kind of thing and the money there, despite being sacked as Sunderland chief executive and Netflix star, we've got to say that, Martin Bain got around £1.9 million in pay and compensation.
Unbelievable, aye, really.
You know,
I mean, there's an old saying, Derek, but he's the type of guy that would fall in the Clyde and come out with a salmon. Do you know what I mean? Quite incredible, eh? And if we think that the amount of money that he was on at Rangers as well, and going down to Sunderland and getting that also, and, you know, the state that Sunderland are in at the moment is, you know, shocking that he's walked away with that kind of cash.
I mean, you've got to give it to him in some respects. He's brought in as basically, you know, cut the costs at all levels, and he's very successful at that. But what he's not successful in, he's not a football man, so he goes in and sees the bottom line, and he really doesn't care about the end product, what you're left with, mm-hmm, in terms of the football. And you know, you've seen that in the documentary, you obviously seen that at Rangers as well. You know, he's great at cutting costs, but you know, there comes a point when he gets shite in replacement of that.
Aye.
So
he's great at cutting costs apart from his own fee.
Aye, well, exactly. But you know, Duff and Phelps were the exact same with their administration costs. So. You know, it was also revealed in the same document that despite receiving £35 million in parachute payments, Sunderland's turnover halved from £123 million to £63 million when they dropped from the Premier League to the Championship. So it shows you the revenue drop there, there's going to be. But you know, you're talking about a parachute payment of £35 million.
Exactly.
You know,
yep,
that would buy Rangers, you know, two or three times over at this present moment, wouldn't it? So it's crazy the money that's going down there. And you know, I've read somewhere as well that there's an unwritten rule in the chat for Championship teams that if you do get promotion, you instantly get, you know, your wages doubled. So
yes, I've heard that as well, Derek. But I mean, that just shows the absolute lunacy that is English football, though, Derek. It's quite incredible. I think, you know, even the English Championship, the average wage in the English Championship is, you know, bigger than the vast majority of the professional leagues around Europe. So it just shows you the amount of money that is getting paid in the English League. And let's be honest, I mean, we can't say that about, you know, the top clubs. You've had Man City and Liverpool in the semi-final, and now, you know, tonight Liverpool have made it through to the final. But the rest of English football, when it comes to European football, aren't that successful and don't make that much of an impact. And, you know, players down in the English Championships that are earning, you know, 50, 60 grand a week. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the money that's going on there, though, is, I mean, that's the richest league in the world, undoubtedly. You know, the English team should be winning the Champions League, the UEFA Cup, you know, every single competition going every single year. So it's, but again, it's the whole effect of money doesn't buy you success. You know, Man City are finding that, yeah, they can buy the Premiership, but they can't buy Europe. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, it just goes to show that sometime, you know, you've got to think the bubble will burst eventually, but it just doesn't seem any slope in it just now. So.
Yeah.
So, Dave, in this story, you've got a lot to answer for.
Okay.
Falkirk's Randy Lovers named Scotland's loudest after their noisy sex sessions led to more neighbours reported to the local authorities than any other Scots town.
Derek, I take it that's unmarried couples, because that's the only way that I can, you know, really explain that, let's be honest.
Dozens of enthusiastic couples were reported to authorities for causing a disturbance through saucy screaming and groaning. And frisky Falkirk folk have been revealed to be the country's most vocal lovers, with council bosses receiving 49 noisy sex complaints in the past year.
That's brilliant, right?
Lynn, these are sex people.
What do you mean?
They're sex swappers. Lynn, this is DEFCON 1. Look. Don't make the same noise as them. They'll think you want to join in.
Figures released under new Freedom of Information laws show that Stirling, which came second, lagged far behind with just two grievances.
What can I say, Derek? I'm from Falkirk, and where is it you come from?
Stirling.
Enough said. So Falkirk came tops and Stirling came second. Yes. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Aberdeenshire.
It's well seen it's no football, Derek. It's something completely different.
Getting pumped of a different kind.
Boom, boom.
That's what she said.
Oh, that's brilliant. What were you going to say about Aberdeenshire?
Aberdeenshire, Inverclyde and Perth and Kinross councils just had one gripe each lodged since March. Right. But quiet couples kept a lid on it in areas including East Ayrshire, Dundee, Shetland, Dumfries and Galloway had no noisy sex complaints at all. Certainly in Dumfries and Galloway, and, you know, I would have thought Aberdeenshire as well, it would have been the sheep that were making the complaints.
Exactly, exactly. But, there you go. So Falkirk tops the poll of noisy lovers. Derek, that's a fantastic start, that. I'll have to remember that one.
This is the line of the moment here. John O'Connell of the Taxpayers Alliance said councils should be focusing on delivering public services, not wasting cash on some jumped up sex police.
I'll apply for that job. There'll be a waiting list for that, I tell you.
Oh, what can we say?
Fantastic. Good stuff, Derek. Good stuff.
So on that note, we will leave it there and we will end the podcast. As ever, you can check us out on our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. There you can find all the links to our social media sites, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, the whole gambit of podcast sites we get as well.
All the rest of the poorly executed stuff that we've got on there.
Yes, poorly executed embarrassment, you know, the whole gambit as well. I'm never going to have that down now. So.
Definitely not, mate. Definitely not.
So, as I said, we'll probably not be back for after the Old Firm game, unless there's something majorly controversial that happens. I'll try to be back with a post-match update, just depending on where I watch the game, and depending if Dave's out, we don't manage to get post-matches done because of various circumstances, but hopefully I'll be watching the game in the house. Dave, yeah. where are you planning on watching the game?
I will be watching it on the house because I've actually got two very big football matches that day, because my son is playing in his first ever cup final with his team, and they will be playing at Stennismuir Football Club's ground at 5 o'clock on the same night. So we'll be watching the Old Firm game and then heading straight there. So and his team wears blue as well, so here's hoping it's a double blue victory on Sunday.
Excellent. So good luck to Dave's boy and good luck to Rangers on Sunday. So,
yes.
Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, folks. We will be back soon.
Bye bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, place yourself.
But every time you go and change your nappy because she's wet her nappy, and you think she's going to do a shite, and then you change your nappy, then 2 minutes later she bloody does a shite. So it's